Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. NBA champion. Golden State Warriors. And last night, another impressive performance by Golden State, scoring 129 points, 39 of those from Kevin Durant. And KD was sensational all series long. And I think it's cool when guys have given their heart and soul to a game and been the good guy, if you will, and it finally delivers them the ultimate prize. I mean, KD, for all that we know, has been a pretty good dude. Good in the community in Oklahoma City. Humble guy, grounded guy. And he finally elevates his performance on the highest level on the biggest stage and deserved that unanimous MVP vote and trophy and that championship. The Warriors are easily a machine that could win the next four NBA titles. I could see this window being open for the next 4 years for them. It might be open longer than that. Look, Tim Duncan had a window that was open for 15 years, for nearly 20 years. I think at least for the next four, the Warriors are going to be a devastating punch. Because at least for the next four, it seems like KD's going to stick around. Steph's going to get that max contract. And then Klay and Draymond will still be under their current deals. As long as you got those four guys together, I just don't see how that window for a championship is not still open. Maybe exhaustion, maybe fatigue from playing deep into the NBA postseason every year. Maybe eventually guys want to strike out on their own and get paid somewhere else. Steve Kerr could retire. Maybe because this team has to spend all that money on their starters, the bench is really thin. Maybe Steph's ankles give out. Maybe there's an injury. You know, things like that can happen. But as long as those four guys are together, it's hard imagining a NBA where they're not the odds-on favorite to win the title. And they were the better team in this series from start to finish. You had the hiccup in game four. You had the close game in game three. But in totality of this series, it is undoubtedly checkmark and advantage Golden State in almost every box, every game. And here's the one thing that kind of rubs me a little raw about this series. I don't think we ever really saw the Cavs' best basketball. And that includes Game 4. The Cavaliers defensively were a problem unit all season. The Cavaliers had shooters. The Cavaliers had Kyrie and LeBron. But the Cavaliers really were never a very balanced team. And when push came to shove in the NBA Finals, one team was perfect. Now, look, Golden State had more talent by a long shot. And Golden State also had the revenge motivation built in and the experience from last year. But Watching this series, I never felt like we saw the best of the Cavs. I really don't. The way the Cavs played in the final three games of last year's NBA Finals was probably peak Cavs. And you could even say there were moments, flashes of peak Cavs in this year's postseason. But game one against the Warriors, it wasn't a rest problem. Remember, we didn't have games for a full week. Didn't show up. Didn't show up. Game two, Oracle Arena again. Chance for the split. Cavs didn't show up. Didn't show up. Game three, coming back home, they finally did. They led for most of that game. And they really kind of took the fight to the Warriors, and that was what they needed to do. Their offense, though, when it mattered, bogged down. Kyle Korver didn't hit his shots. LeBron did not drive and draw fouls. They settled for fall-away threes. And defensively, they were not good when it mattered in the final 5 minutes of that game when the Warriors bum-rushed them. Game four, they shot the lights out. Nobody's ever done that. Even the Warriors hadn't have done that. 24 three-pointers. 24 threes. And they put up 86 points in the first half, and that game was shell-shocked and over. Game five, was last night the best the Cavaliers could play? The answer is no. Defensively, they did not close on shooters all game long last night and all series long. When the Warriors missed shots, usually it was just because they missed. It wasn't usually because the Cavaliers were playing great perimeter defense. They did not defend well. They did not close space. They did not harass the Warriors. They did not create turnovers. They did not hard foul. Tristan Thompson was AWOL. AWOL. And then on the offensive end, LeBron was great. He averaged a freaking triple-double. But Kyrie was quiet the first two games. We said, where's that Kyrie? Where's the 42 points of the game Kyrie? When's that Kyrie going to come out? That guy didn't come out until game three. Kevin Love grabbed a bunch of rebounds, but Kevin Love never really had a big, big game outside of that huge shooting night in game four. And everything was crisper for Golden State. You know, after this game, after last night's game, I thought it was very obvious that the Cavaliers, generally speaking, were waiting for LeBron to bail them out. And it never happened. And that just should have been different because they should have known better. And I think that the rest of those guys, I mean, J.R. Smith had a garbage series. Darren Williams was garbage, actual hot garbage, 98.6 degrees of garbage. Channing Frye, who was big in the postseason, was nowhere in the finals. They couldn't even use him because he couldn't keep up with the Warriors' athleticism. Tristan Thompson, invisible for most of this series. I mean, this just was not a very good effort from the Cavaliers. And it bothers me, not as a Cavaliers fan, I don't root for or against the Cavs, but because we deserved a better series than that. We all waited and wanted Cavaliers-Warriors, and then when it finally got here, the Cavaliers didn't show up for the first two games. And so if you start down 2-0 against the Warriors, how quickly do you think it's going to end? There was just no excuse for them not to show up in the first two. And then they gave away game three. And last night was a good game. Last night was an interesting game. Last night was the way that the series should have been. That Golden State, to me, much better basketball team, was going to win the finals. But last night was a better representation where, all right, it's kind of back and forth, good action, a lot on the line, and it could go either way depending on a spurt here or there. We didn't really get a great series because the Cavs just decided not to show up at times. And even last night, there were moments where the Cavaliers' effort wasn't very good. And I look at James Jones, who's been around the block and has played with LeBron for years in both Miami and now in Cleveland. And James Jones had some really interesting comments yesterday, last night after the loss. That team makes you pay. They make you pay at an unbelievable rate. When you make a mistake or you're a split second slow or you miss an assignment or for just a second you're not conscious with what they're trying to do and who they are, they do a great job of reminding you of that every time you make a mistake. That's not a team you can beat unless you're focused on limiting your mistakes and being in the right place and executing at an extremely high level. How often do you think you saw the Cavaliers execute at a high level? I mean, frankly, it might have been never, because game four was kind of an anomaly. I mean, they just hit everything they shot from outside. In some ways, that's execution, but in some ways, that's simply shots falling. That was a team that didn't play with defensive intensity. That was a team that you could see coming down in the regular season was going to have to flip that switch to play with a focus and a defensive mentality. And they never did it. They never clicked into that in this series. And that was very odd, and that was very disappointing. And I would also say that for Cleveland, the East was so bad that they could afford to make mistakes. They got away with a lot of mistakes against the Pacers. They swept them. They got away with mistakes against the Celtics. They beat them in five. They could afford to make mistakes against the Raptors. Toronto went in the tank way more than Cleveland did. I mean, Toronto's effort was all over the place. You know, the reason that the Celtics actually gave him a bit of a series and stole a game and came back and had that big lead in the other game that the Cavaliers came back in was that they did give a lot of max effort. They did make life hard on the Cavaliers because they pushed and pushed and pushed and they were focused. They just weren't talented enough. The Cavaliers were talented enough to at least make this a series. I don't know if they were talented enough to actually win. They were talented enough to make it a series, and they just didn't. And I think that's the big key. I mean, LeBron might sit down and go, we need another scorer. We can't compete with the firepower at Golden State. And in some ways, that's true. But in some ways, LeBron's got to sit down and say, we need better defensive players. We need better defensive commitment. We need better defensive execution. Because, I mean, outside of Richard Jefferson, and I thought Richard Jefferson had a really good series for what he is limited in doing this late in his career. Who was a high-energy defensive guy that discombobulated or at least made the Warriors work? Who did that? Kyrie didn't do that. Kevin Love was decent rebounding, but he didn't do that really well. J.R. Smith definitely didn't do that. Shumpert didn't do that. Tristan Thompson didn't do that. Darren Williams can't do that. Kyle Korver's not good defensively. You know, I think that's the turning point here, is that the Cavaliers are a bunch of guys that LeBron really gets along with, and I think he really likes everybody on that team. But I don't think those guys are built right now to win a championship against a team as good as the Warriors, because they're not all in totally committed and hungry defensively to do everything and anything. And I don't know if you can really change that with the way the roster is set up. I really don't. I don't know if you can change that. But that just was not the Cavaliers' best effort. There was more to be given. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. So, with two titles in 3 years and no signs of slowing down, how does the NBA adjust to Golden State? We'll talk about it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
What language is that? I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
There's so many ways you can watch and listen to the show. So many different ways you can consume it. Live every day is on the digital broadcast at watchda.com. Watch us on a daily basis there. It's mobile friendly as well. And then also, you can stream us on your phone, the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. Golden State wins last night 4-1, takes 2 of the last 3 NBA championships, and now we wonder and we wait with what happens this offseason for somebody to try to chase down the Golden State Warriors. Zach Lowe of ESPN.com wrote a piece today about how the rest of the league is looking at this. And he writes, rivals who are a tier below Golden State and Cleveland are contemplating whether chasing the Warriors is even worth it while all 4 starters are in their primes. Why swap draft picks and young players out for present-day talent if an upgrade still leaves you way short? Most teams don't have the luxury of even asking the question because franchises just try to be good, but other franchises trying to be great might not be even able to get great. He said most team executives around the league agree there might be some small overall chilling effect on win-now transactions in the wake of Golden State's run. Middling teams without a star could attempt a multi-year process style bottoming out, although none appeared primed to do so right now. Daryl Morey, Houston's GM, says, a response to the Golden State mega team, I hear the NBA is considering giving out banners to teams who just don't get swept. Now, Daryl Morey says he's still looking to get better because we've got James Harden and we're not sacrificing his prime. The Spurs don't want to sacrifice Kawhi Leonard's best years. Morey said, quote, they're not unbeatable. There have been bigger upsets in sports history. We are going to keep improving our roster. You know, I think that for the NBA, it's not about good teams trying to get better and that going away. I mean, if you are a top 4 or 5 team in the NBA, the only hope is to get better, because what are you then going to try to do? You're not going to strip it down from being a 2 seed and say, okay, you know what, let's just suck. So you can only try to get better and hope that you draft better, hope that your draft picks make a leap, hope that the rest of your guys elevate, hope that you stay healthy, and that you go toe-to-toe and might be able to knock them off. And so I think if you're the Celtics, you can't right now say, well, let's just try to really suck again. I mean, we're kind of good. We're not going to strip it all away and then just try to restart. If you are the Spurs, you can't restart because of Kawhi. If you're the Rockets, you can't restart because of James Harden. You've got to kind of continue to try to build. But I'll tell you, if I'm a 5 seed, a 6 seed, 7 seed, an 8 seed, I feel like I'm in no man's land right now for a while. I look at a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, and they've got Giannis, and they've got Giannis coming into his prime. And so you're not going to sit here and say, well, let's try to suck for the next 3 years. But you also know that what you're aiming for right now is not a championship. This is not the NFL where the last team in the playoffs can make a wild card run. If you are in the NHL, this is not the Nashville Predators, last team in the playoffs that can make a run. This is not Major League Baseball where the San Francisco Giants can win a 1-game playoff or the Kansas City Royals can win a 1-game playoff and then go all the way to the World Series. Now, that has never really ever happened in the NBA. Rarely do we ever have those kind of big upsets. But right now, I think the problem is there's probably 4 or 5 teams that feel, you know what, we got a shot. There might be less than that. You know, if we get better, we really do have a shot. There might be 3 or 4 teams. And then there's 27 that have to wonder, Well, how good do we want to try to be? And I think therein lies the problem for the NBA. Ken is next up in Baltimore, CBS Sports Radio's 1300 there. What's up, Ken?
Hey, D.A., my first time calling in to you, man. Thanks for letting me in.
You got it, buddy? Anytime? What you got for me?
I appreciate that. You said something I have to, you said a lot of good things, but you said something I have to disagree with you about.
Okay.
You said that Cleveland needs to add another defensive player. I mean, of course, anybody would like to add a defensive player. But if you look at Kevin Love's stats, shooting and Korver shooting, I mean, Cleveland wasn't that far off from Golden State, except these two guys couldn't hit open jumpers. Open jumpers, not contested.
Well, the only problem, and I'm not saying swap out Kevin Love for the defensive stopper. What I am saying is the way that Cleveland played defense in this finals gave them no shot to win. Do you realize that the fewest points they held Golden State to in the series was 113? That was in game one, and that was not a close game. They gave up 113 in game one, 132 in game two, 118 in game three. They won that big game four because they had 86 points at the half. And then 129 last night. There's just no way you can win when the team that you're playing is averaging 120 points. I mean, think about that. The Warriors averaged a buck 20 in this series over five games. There's just no way. And I'm not saying you have to add an entire team of defensive stoppers. What I am saying is there had to be a better commitment on defense. And maybe it takes swapping a few guys out to get a few guys in that make that a priority. Like, I thought Richard Jefferson made it a priority. I don't think anybody else in the Cleveland Cavaliers really did. And if you give the Warriors a buck 20 every night, how many teams in the entire league can top that, even if you have shooters like Kyle Korver and Kevin Love? Hey, Kyle Korver made a shot. They win game three. Do they also win game four the way that they did the next night? I mean, maybe. So maybe it's 2-2. But you're not giving yourself much room for error if you're not playing solid defense as well. And remember, the Golden State Warriors were the best defensive team in basketball in the regular season. Michael's in Flint, Michigan, listening on 1330 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
What's up, D.A.? First of all, can I get a beam up, sir?
You know it. So what's up?
Thank you, sir. I really don't hear that often as I used to on your night show. I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah, we got a lot of guys, I think, that don't know they can get zapped up, so I'm glad you brought it, yeah.
But, about what you were saying with Cleveland, I think the only way they can fix that is they got to get younger. Boston, as you said, very good energy team. You get that energy because you have younger players that still got tread on the tires. You're not going to get that defensive intensity consistently from 30-plus-year-old Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson and Darren Williams and people. I was really surprised they didn't go more with Derek Williams. He seemed to be a great matchup for, like, Draymond Green or something, but they never used him. And I think that's the problem with LeBron. He, ever since even in Miami, he's had all these older players around him, Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, and Shane Battier. He's never had a younger team, you know, with that defensive energy around him.
I think that's totally fair, Michael. You're right. He has surrounded himself with veteran players because they were ready to win right now. And that's no different right now. He wants to win right now. But you're right. You lose that young youth and spark. You lose that young youth hunger to do anything possible to get on the floor. And he hasn't played in a young team since he was with the Cavaliers the first time around. And the only thing is, I don't know how much flexibility they really have with that roster because they've got a lot of guys locked up to contracts. 855-212-4CBS. Hit me up. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll jump back into your phone calls as you guys are weighing in on last night's NBA Finals. We'll also get to your cut line, the stories that didn't make the cut after your calls, and then also your epic fail coming up. That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah,
this
is one.
So what?
open now for brunch. D.A.
Tastes so good, make you want to smack your mama. Come here, mama.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll find gift cards and hundreds of great Father's Day gifts from tools to flashlights. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what Dad wants, a guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Eric's in Abilene, Texas, listening to 98.1 to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Eric?
How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to say that I think if the NBA kind of wants to even things out a little bit more, all they really need to do, well, not all that they need to do, but one thing that they can do is allow hand checking again.
Well,
I think that would take some of the advantage away from the type of game that Golden State plays. What do you say?
I don't think they'll ever do that because they like this free-flowing, open offensive game. The NBA realizes this is a much more palatable sport, much more palatable game experience and style than they used to have when they allowed hand checking. And so you will continue to see the rules open up because the NBA wants to be fast, it wants to be young, it wants to be hip, it wants to be exciting. They don't ever want to go back to the early 2000s where it was a 78-76 game between the Spurs and Pistons. They don't ever want that basketball ever again. They want this. They want it because the kids like hoisting up three-pointers. They like seeing Steph Curry hoist them up. They like seeing a lot of offense, and they know that America likes it better as well. So they're not going to allow the hand-checking. Would it take away some of the advantage that the Warriors have? Yeah. Yep. Because if you could rough up, or if you could get in the grill or get in the kitchen of shooters around the three-point line, then it takes away some of their space and takes away some of their advantage and takes away their comfort. And the Warriors are all on comfort. But we ain't going there. And here's the thing. The NBA doesn't want to take away the Warriors' style advantage. They want to take away the Warriors' talent advantage. That's what the NBA's focus is. This is not about the style. The NBA would love to have every game 133-132 with everybody hitting three-pointers. The NBA just doesn't want the Warriors having tilted the field with way more talent than anybody could ever hope to acquire to then take them down. So how do you do that? Well, there's some grumbling now that the NBA didn't do enough to prevent Kevin Durant from being able to go to the Warriors. Because when you think about it, it was the perfect marriage that never probably should have happened. The Warriors got Steph Curry on a discount because he had shaky ankles. So when he signed his extension, it wasn't a max huge deal. They've got relatively inexpensive deals for Klay and Draymond. And then they had all of these guys put together. It was a great team. It was balanced. They had developed into stars. And then suddenly, at the same exact time, Kevin Durant became a free agent. The salary cap boomed because of all of that television money that kicked in last year. See, the player said, hey, if you're going to sign a billions and billions and billions of dollar deal for the TV, we want that money right away because then we've got our guys getting paid that offseason. And the NBA said, well, how about we institute this gradually? How about the payroll, the salary cap goes up this many millions of dollars 1 year and then a little bit more the next year, then a little bit more? Had it been done that way, the Warriors probably don't have the ability to sign Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant's going to get a max contract somewhere else. Had the Warriors decided we wanted Kevin Durant, they were going to have to give up some serious pieces. What they gave up was Andrew Bogut leaves. All right. You know, Harrison Barnes leaves. That wasn't that big a deal. But because it skyrocketed and boomed last offseason, last summer, and because the players union wanted it all at the start, and Kevin Durant happened to be a free agent then, it could all come into play. And the Warriors grabbed him and didn't really have to give up anything else. They didn't have to cut other guys. They didn't have to make tough financial decisions. So there's grumbling around the NBA that the league should have done more fighting against that kind of blip on the radar, that little bubble that allowed the Warriors to add Kevin Durant, saying, you know, we should have fought it. We should have not allowed it. We should have tried to deter it. We should have said, you know, this is not in the spirit of the game. We were giving the salary cap bump to everybody because we were all making more money, but we didn't want it to allow a 73-win team to add the biggest, best, most expensive free agent. That wasn't what this was intended to do. What the bump was intended to do was to allow the Thunder to keep Kevin Durant. That's what they were hoping. And look, Mike Conley to stay with the Grizzlies got what, $200 million? He signed the biggest contract in NBA history. That bump was engineered to say, we'll keep the talent in the places so that we have more competitive balance. And instead, the way that it went down, it worked the other way, and now there's people in the NBA very upset by that, saying this was not the intention of it. Now, the Warriors, you can't blame them. I mean, they played their cards right. But, you know, I'm also not going to give the Warriors all of this credit for being this super sophisticated, savvy, smart front office. They had a great team. They only had to give up two ancillary parts to free agency, and then they added one of the greatest players of the game. That doesn't take much intelligence. I mean, that's just, they had the perfect timing to do it. Daryl's in Tennessee, listening on CBS Sports Radio 640. What's up, Daryl?
Oh, not much. How you doing today, D.A.?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
Getting into this Cavaliers and Warriors discussion. Start out, I'm not a Warriors fan. I never have been. Not really a Cavs fan, but I've always watched, you know, wherever LeBron's at, because like most people my age that got to see Larry Bird and Magic and Michael and Kobe and all the great guys play, you know, you tune in and you're witnessing greatness, you know, even like with Tiger Woods in golf. You tuned in and watched because you could see something great happen at any time. And, you know, I might shoot myself before I hang up, but for saying this, but I did witness greatness last night, and it was the Golden State Warriors team. They're phenomenal, man, and they've showed that they serve notice on the league to me that you can play defense in this league. You don't have to be hand-checking and cracking down on people. And if anybody in the league wants to catch up to them, that's what they've got to learn to do. They've got to learn to play defense.
Daryl, I agree. I think last night we did witness greatness. I mean, that I've never seen a team that is this deep with talent at such a young age and have it all come together like this. I mean, like I said, the Thunder were going in that direction when they had Harden and Durant and Westbrook and Ibaka. Think about that. I mean, it was almost the exact comparison to the Warriors now of having three dynamic offensive players and then one tremendous defensive player working down low. I mean, it was almost the exact thing, the exact same thing. But the case is that now all these guys are seasoned, experienced veterans, but they're also still under the age of 30. This is greatness. There's no doubt about it. This is greatness. For what they are right now, for a team that simply doesn't seem like it can be beat by even the second best team in the league, that's the definition of greatness. I totally agree. Let's get to your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
We've made a lot of jokes about Eddie Lacy and how chubby he has been, but Eddie Lacy is right now making money for not being chubby. Lacy passed his way in today with the Seahawks. That was yesterday. So that means another $55,000 coming to him for being under 250 pounds. He also, a month ago, collected $55,000 for being below 255. So every month, if he cuts 5 pounds, he's making an extra $55,000. I'd like to say that even Mraz could lose his weight for $55,000, but that I don't necessarily believe. He likes the cupcakes. He likes the desserts. He likes the Cheesecake Factory. He likes the B-Dubs just a little bit too much.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
55K for 5 pounds. Can you do it?
For 5 pounds?
Yeah, like yeah. Eddie Lacy.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree with that. For 55,000, could you lose 25 pounds?
I think I could, but we're probably towing the line at 25.
For 55,000, can you lose 30 pounds?
I'd make my damnedest, but that has 28 pounds written all over it.
Dez Bryant is recruiting Darrell Revis to join the Cowboys, tweeting at Revis, "How about Dallas? I promise you're going to love what we got going on around here. Your attitude fits our culture. Waiting, ... Which is hysterical because it sounds like Dez Bryant is the tourism bureau for some Caribbean island you've never heard of. You're going to love what we got going on around here. It sounds like the tourism bureau for Minnesota. You know, you're watching TV, you're in the middle of watching daytime TV, and then it's like July and these tourism commercials come on like, visit our state. You're like, I've never even thought about visiting that state. Then it's like, you're going to love what we have going on around here. Like, oh, maybe I will. That kayak looks nice. Oh, that couple hiking looks very, very pleasant. Oh, look, they're eating outside near a lake. Maybe I'll do that. You know? Come to New Hampshire. You're going to love what we've got going on around here. Like, I haven't even ever thought about going there, but all right. Okay, I'm down. I'm thinking about it. You see, like, Mount Rushmore, then the Badlands. South Dakota. You're going to love what we've got going on around here. Ooh, all right. Honey, you want to go to South Dakota this summer?
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that's your cut line. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And before the big game on Sunday morning was a big night at the Mraz household, just embarrassing himself on video. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
With what looked to be a woman on the ground, I am assuming it was your wife, Danielle, you begin shaking your big fat rear end.
Chubbo. Big Papa's on the loose. You better step up your game.
In her face as Biggie plays and you have nothing but boxers separating your butt from her face.
Bare chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Look out. Here comes the...
You are going down lower and lower and lower as though it was a limbo until you're actually sticking your rear end on her face. She is yelping for help.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Nobody seems to be helping her. You then are so drunk you lose your balance and fall on the ground. You are on your side still writhing and sticking your buttocks in her face.
Even if you're fat.
He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
But I just saw this and said, you want me to rely on you to book guests for this award-winning show? What do you have to say for yourself?
I had to take the edge off. There was a big game the next morning.
Was that Danielle on the ground?
Yes, it was, thankfully. Wasn't sure immediately. It was her, though.
What led her to being on the ground under you?
She tripped while dancing. My pants fell down. I saw her down.
A match made in heaven, huh?
It's how they'll make their first child as well.
And so why did your pants fall down?
It's my party and I cry if I want to, cry if I want to.
Because the song earlier was some kind of song that involved, you know, take your shirt off. So my shirt had come off and I took my belt off. And I was dancing with Danielle provocatively. Is that a word?
Yes.
And I had the belt around her neck, and we were having a good time.
Holy.
Then when they queued up the biggie, and that came over, I never put the belt back on. And, God. You know, with all my weight loss, the pants dropped.
Oh.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
The video is scarring. We posted it on Facebook. If you scroll back through before Sunday's flag football footage and broadcast that we did, you'll see the video that maybe you don't want to see because you'll never be able to unsee it. Jeff in Detroit at a Trash Tuesday. I got to trash my roof, DA, for making me shingle it on Sunday during the big Small Blocks Young Guns matchup. Listen to the broadcast, though. Good radio.
Someone just got trashed.
Look, the best thing about the Young Guns Small Blocks matchup is that it lives forever on our Facebook page. So you can always watch all of the coverage, pregame, postgame, postgame interview with Mraz where he gets the Gatorade dumped on him, postgame interview with Mr. Six after the injury. In-game action, the play-by-play. Oh, it's all there. It's all there. Maestro Mike says, DA, the Warriors got lucky with Steph's ankles. They had more than enough money to have KD as an option because of Curry's modest contract. Absolutely. Absolutely part of it as well. Jay tweets, I think it's pronounced Wiser, but it could be Weezer. Come to Wiser, Idaho. You're going to love what we have going on here. Hashtag Fiddle Festival. Hashtag Google it. Hashtag it's a thing. The DA Show live from the Fiddle Festival in Idaho coming up here. Thanks to Sean Mraz, Pete the Body Bellotti. Our friend Andrew Kaplan doing the digital broadcast as well. I'm DA and the Mothership Disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.